The following message was given by Shelby Murphy on Sunday, June 9th at Redemption Hill Church. For more information about the church, visit us online at www.redemptionhill.org.
Well, good morning, guys. It's good to be with you again this morning. My name is Shelby, and I'm one of the pastors here. Let me send my welcome to you as well. If you got your Bibles, turn with me over to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 46. It's on page 863 of those pew Bibles there in front of you. And while you're turning there, leave a finger there and also turn over to Hebrews chapter 5 and kind of put a finger there because we're going to be there here in a minute. So Luke 6, Hebrews 5. But we'll spend most of our time in Luke 6 today. Just as a reminder, we are finishing up Jesus's Sermon on the Plains today, and then we'll be switching gears for the summer to move into our summer mixtape series on the Psalms and Proverbs, giving you a chance to hear from some of the other pastors. And we will begin next week with Jimmy Gahagan. Woo! Who will be looking at Psalm 121 with us. So I'm excited for you guys to get a chance to hear from him and others this summer. But last Sunday, Pastor Tim began to close out this particular discourse from Jesus. And today I sort of get to add the punctuation mark to it. So I'm going to read our text for us, then I'm going to pray, and then we will jump in this morning. So here we are, Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Let's pray. Father, we are in need again of your gracious help this morning. Help me to speak with clarity. Help me to speak with sufficient weight and tone that reflects your heart towards us. And I pray that you would open our ears to your word today. Help us to hear it this morning, to be attentive to your spirit, ready to receive and to respond to what you're saying here through your son, Jesus. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. So let me just set the scene for us one last time today. Jesus is teaching to a gathered crowd of his disciples. He's been teaching really since the beginning of verse 20. And his words are directed to those who would either profess to be his followers or who want to be his follower. Those who have already been drawn to follow Jesus or those who are being drawn to follow Jesus. And Jesus has been telling them and then illustrating for them what it's like to follow him. He's already told us in verse 40 that a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. They'll be like Jesus, a Jesus follower. And here at the end of chapter 6, Jesus is finishing his teaching. And the reason I know that is because look at chapter 7, verse 1. What does it say? After he had finished all his sayings. So that's how I know he's finished today. But here at the end of 6, I hope you've noticed he's not really adding anything, any new content to his teaching here. Instead, he's helping us to feel the full weight of all that he's said so far. He's urging them, he's urging us to take stock of our lives, to do a sober self-assessment of where we are. He wants us to respond rightly to his teaching. Jesus isn't interested in our admiration of his teaching. He doesn't just want our approval or even our agreement. He wants our complete commitment. He wants our lives. He wants everything. And not because he's some egomaniac, but because he is the Lord of life and he offers the only life that truly is life. So at this point in his teaching, he's no longer interested in giving us new material. He's moved past that. This is his sort of main application point. It's his altar call. It's his plea to follow him, to become his disciple. He wants to leave them with something tangible to bite down on and reflect on. And in doing so, he's calling us to take a sober look at where we are. After calling us to follow him and illustrating for us what it means to follow him, he's now saying that you're either with me or you're not. He puts it in no uncertain terms because eternity is at stake here. So go back to Tim's sermon last week. He's giving them some illustrations to help answer some questions that might have been swirling around in their noodles at this point. Questions like, this is all great, Jesus, but what do you want me to do? And the question from last week that I really want to frame our time today is this: do I need a better heart, or do I just need to do better? I'll rephrase it this way. Do I need to be a better person, or do I need to do better things? And the answer Tim gave last week is the same answer today. Yes. That's the answer. Both of these need to be an ongoing reality in our lives. Being and doing. Jesus has a compassion and a deep desire for us all to know the life that is found only in him and only in following him. And so Jesus ends his teaching with these two vivid illustrations, one about two trees and one about two houses. And we've been shown all throughout his teaching here in chapter 6 that there really is only two ways to live, two ways that every one of us mouth breathers face. A path of blessing, or a path of woe, or a path of warning. And Jesus is calling us to consider which category we are in. This should be a moment of sort of personal reflection for everyone. Being and doing. How do you reconcile those two things? What's the connection between those two things? What's the relationship? Why does Jesus put these two illustrations right next to each other? So similar to how Tim framed it last week, both of these things are like opposite sides of the same coin. Where our illustration talked about bearing fruit last week, our illustration this week talks about actually doing what Jesus says. And as we begin, I want to suggest a connection between these two things. And that connection is obedience. Obedience to what Jesus says is what will cause good fruit to be born in our lives. Here's my working thesis, my working premise for our time in these verses today. Obedience trains the mind and the heart, and a trained mind and heart direct how we live. Obedience trains the mind and the heart, our inner being. And it's out of our inner being, out of our heart, that the fruit of our life is born. And we're actually given an example of this last week in verse 45, when he says, "For out of the abundance of the mouth or the heart, the mouth speaks." But it's this idea of doing for Jesus, being obedient to what Jesus calls us to do, that I kind of want to sit on here for a second before we get into our text. So if you got your finger there in Hebrews 5, flip with me over to Hebrews chapter 5. Chapter 5, right there in verse 14. I found this helpful this week and I wanted to share. chapter 5, verse 14. But solid food is for the mature. And listen to this. For those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. If it's not already clear to you in our day and age, you should be constantly practicing your powers of discernment as you go throughout your day. Learning to tell the difference between good and evil. This is part of your job description as a Christian. As you walk out those doors today, as you wake up tomorrow morning and go to work, as you traverse the landscape of singleness or marriedness, is that even a word? As you look to raise your kids, you are constantly practicing being able to discern good from evil as you are obedient to Christ. You're training your heart and your mind to discern properly. And as you obey, you are becoming more clear and more confident about the goodness and rightness of Jesus' teaching. And that in turn should lead to a life of fuller obedience that bears good fruit. Good fruit that we've been reading about in Luke. Fruit like loving your enemies, doing good to those who hate you, praying for those who abuse you, being generous to others, forgiving others. And here in Hebrews, we read about some more good fruit that comes from obedience. Discernment, knowing more clearly the difference between good and evil. And it's this idea of obedience that I believe is the connective tissue between our two illustrations here at the end of Luke 6. The connection between what Tim shared with us last week about bearing good fruit and what we'll see today, obedience to Christ's teaching. Which leads us into our text today. So let's go back to Luke 6. Starting in verse 46. Again, this is coming immediately out of the two tree illustration. We get this question. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? We can almost stop here today, as it's the most applicable question I could leave you with. This question was being asked of his disciples, of his followers, and it's being asked of us today. Do I do what Jesus tells me to do? Because apparently, the possibility exists that you can profess to be a Christian. You can profess to be a Christ follower. Confess Jesus as Lord, Lord, but have no real commitment to be obedient to what he tells you to do. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you to do? So Jesus gives us a final illustration to go along with this final provocation. Verse 47. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So again, we get another illustration showcasing two contrasting paths. One house stands firm, one house gets completely destroyed, gets completely wiped out. Now it's important to notice, both of the people represented here heard Jesus' words. Verse 47, everyone who comes to me and hears my words. And then verse 49, but the one who hears. Both of these people hear Jesus' words. They both come to church. They both are part of a community. They serve in the church. They are visibly Christians. They're both regularly hearing Christ's teaching, and they both claim to be Christians. They both call him Lord, but only one of them actually does what Jesus says. Again, this is meant to help you feel the full weight of that question back in 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? And the illustration Jesus provides again shows us that there's really only two ways to live our lives. And it should give us pause this morning to ask, how am I building my own life? What are the things I am prioritizing? What are the things that I am valuing in my life? How and where do I spend my time? Because we are all building something with our efforts, with our doing. And I want to be careful this morning to not overinterpret this illustration, because it's pretty simple and it's meant to be sort of on the nose a little bit. It's easy to understand, but I don't think it's insignificant that what highlights the difference between the two houses is a storm. Both of these houses look just fine in good weather. Both of these houses seem secure when everything is going well. When life is smooth and easy, it can be hard to tell which is which. And it's often the storms that reveal the difference. Throw in a little COVID, throw in a little cancer, throw in some church conflict, throw in some financial or relational stress, toss in a pinch of sin and pride, throw in some opposition, throw in some persecution, wait till your spiritual El Nino hits. And it's only then that we're able to see who will stand and who will not stand. And what's the difference that we're shown here? It's a deep commitment to Jesus. A foundation built on the rock of Christ. Built on him and his words to us. In fact, Jesus tells us quite clearly what the difference is here. Look again at verse 47. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them. Notice the three actions every true follower of Jesus engages in. Coming to Jesus, hearing his words, and then actually doing them. These are the three qualities of someone who is building a foundation on Jesus. They are obedient in hearing and responding to the call to follow Christ. They are obedient to regularly hear his words. And what truly sets apart someone whose life will stand through storms, who bears good fruit, is this third part, being obedient to what Jesus has commanded. This is true for us as individuals, and it's true for us corporately as a church. Simply professing Jesus as Lord is not the same as hearing him and actually doing what he says. The truly committed and genuine Christ follower, through his or her obedience, is building something. A structure that will stand regardless of the storm that comes our way. Following Jesus must include a real obedience to what he has called us to do. A real, purposeful, conscious, intentional obedience. So when Jesus says, love your enemies, you know what he's calling you to do. Doing good for them. Blessing them with your words. Praying for them. How many of us have done any of those things this week? When Jesus says, forgive, he wants us to actually forgive. Have you done that recently? And when he says, pay attention to your own sin before you go charging into somebody else's life, he wants you to actually do that. And the beautiful thing is that if we are in Christ, we can and we will do those things. We've been given a new heart with new desires and new attitudes and new abilities. Yes, the old sinful nature still clings to us. I know I can't be the only one who's still on that struggle bus. It's a constant fight. and requires constant effort on my part, and I fail quite often. But there's always a way back. Amen. Through humility, through confession, through repentance. I was reminded of this past week in seeing Jesus together. On Monday, we read in Philippians 2. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There's that doing right there. But then he sort of adds this beautiful addendum to that. For it is God who works in you. And then hear this. Both to will. Aren't you glad he willed this for you? And to work for his good pleasure. God is working in us so we can work. We can do for his good pleasure. This is the point of this house illustration, to showcase the importance of obedience in being a Jesus follower. Are you building a house with your life that will stand? The way to do that, Jesus says, is through a full, deep commitment to his lordship over your life, which will translate into a purposeful and glad obedience. Now, please hear me. We're not saved by our works of obedience. Salvation is a free gift of God received through faith in Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of work, so that you can't boast about it. Right. However, that entrusting of ourselves completely to Jesus will result in a new mind, a new heart, a new will to follow Christ, to obey Christ. You will want to obey Christ. You should want to obey Christ. And that obedience trains the heart and mind to discern what is good and what isn't good. And this obedience bears good fruit. The fruit that Jesus has already told us about here in Luke, the fruit of forgiveness and repentance and generosity and compassion. A pattern of obedience trains the heart toward good. It helps you to have a treasure chest of good stored up in your heart so that what comes out of your life, the fruit of your life, is increasingly characterized by goodness. And the opposite is also true here. A constant pattern of failing to obey is going to bear bad fruit. And Jesus has already showed us what this could look like: hating your enemies, gossip, self-righteousness, a lack of generosity, judging, a lack of love, or a lack of forgiveness. Don't forget what happened to that second house. Because failure to obey Jesus could ultimately be devastating. Remember the ruin of that house. Because none of us are somehow exempt from that potential outcome. And now I'm going to blow your minds even further. I'm going to end here today. We cannot engage in a continued pattern of disobedience or disregard of Christ's words and expect there to be this kind of good fruit in our lives. Amen. But, and I think I'm on solid ground here, we can expect good fruit to come out of our lives. Yeah. If indeed there is continued patterns of obedience to Christ and his words. Yeah. Yes, we don't save ourselves by our obedience. Jesus is always the only one who saves, but he doesn't just leave us here not knowing what to do. He's constantly at work in us, changing us, helping us to grow, helping us obey, helping us to do. We have a part in this. And Jesus has made it very clear that he wants us to do what he says. And what he tells us to do ranges from the simple and mundane even, all the way to the impossible. From reading his word to us and reflecting and meditating and praying on it, to living our lives in a gracious and faithful and gentle and kind and patient and loving manner, mirroring the same actions God has shown us,
all the way to the impossible to somehow letting this good news about Jesus, this gospel, be heard and shared with people who have never heard it before. And when we do these things, good fruit will start flowing from our lives. Obedience trains the mind and the heart, and a trained mind and heart direct how we live. It trains our inner being. And it's out of our inner being, out of our heart, that the fruit of our life is born. Are you serious about listening to Jesus? Do you make space in your life to actually hear and receive what he says? Either in reading his word or in prayer? And then are you serious about actually obeying Jesus? Serious about the doing? Doing the loving, doing the forgiving, doing the giving, doing the whatever it is that Jesus commands us to do. We want our lives to be houses that stand against the storms of this life. Amen. We want our lives to be trees that bear good, Jesus-like fruit. Yes. May it be so in our lives today, and may it be so in our church today. Amen. Let me pray for us. Father, once again, I say thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for sending your son, the perfect revelation of you, the word made flesh, come to dwell among us and bring us to God. I pray that you would put these words where they need to go today. I pray that they would not just fall to the ground when we walk out of this building. Put them in our heads and hearts as we carry them out of here, as we consider them. Help each one of us to respond rightly today so that our lives might increasingly bear the mark, that might increasingly bear the fruit of your son, Jesus. We want that for his glory, for our good, and for the good of those around us. I pray this in his holy name today. Amen.
You've been listening to a message by Shelby Murphy, given at Redemption Hill Church in Richmond, Virginia. For more information on the church and to hear other messages, please visit us online at www.redemptionhill.org.